Paul, are you ready to start this?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Without objection, I am starting the board meeting at 19:03 hours, 7:03 p.m. Normally, we go straight to the agenda. However, this time it's a little different. I'm going to ask those who are not, well, everyone but me for a moment, I'm going to ask you to mute your microphone if it isn't already. We had a tragedy happen in Bradford Park this past week. The Melendez family on Donnell Drive had a week-old baby girl, and she apparently in the hospital ended up getting a bacteria, and ended up with a perforated intestine, and the doctors tried to do surgery, and the surgery did not work, and unfortunately, the little girl died. So I am going to ask for at least the next 30 seconds or so that we have a moment of silence for the Melendez family. Okay. Paul, Joe, put your microphones back on. I really appreciate everyone taking that moment of silence. It's not often we have stuff like this happen, but I know that those of us on the board, Paul and I, and also Jamie Lotus, we sent a flower arrangement to the family earlier this week. So if you know the family, by all means, you know, give them your condolences. But from what I can tell, there's been a lot of flowers and stuff that have been delivered to their home. And the reason I know that is when we sent our flowers, there was a picture on their doorstep of a lot of bouquets, baskets around their door. So anyway, keep them in your thoughts and prayers. And I really appreciate that. Okay, moving on to our agenda. Starting off with old business, approve the May 31st, 2023 board minutes. Paul, have you had a chance to read those?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Let me back up just a second. There's only two board members again, this board meeting, it's me and Paul. So moving forward from there, you've read the minutes. Do you have any problem with the minutes from the last board meeting?
No, I approve.
You approve. Okay, well, I have to make the motion and all of that. So I make a motion that we approve the board minutes from May 31st, 2023. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Paul seconds. Being that Vince is not here, I will poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
And I vote yes as well. The motion carries. The minutes are approved. Going on to our next agenda item under old business, approve the new collections policy. We've been debating this for a while, and I even put something in the newsletter for folks to read. So, Paul, have you had a chance to review that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I have too. I'll make a motion that we approve the collections policy. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Paul seconds. I will poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
And I vote yes as well. The collections policy is approved. I will go and have that notarized and have it recorded at the county. Joe, you're up. Update on the 2022 audit.
So we're using the same auditor that we did for 2021. And so I am continuing to send over paperwork as they request it. And I suspect we probably have, well, I think we'll have it done by the next board meeting in 2 months. It's a lengthy process. This particular auditor is extremely thorough. and good. And so she will have her report, I would say, before the next board meeting. So okay. Everything proceeding as it should.
Perfect. All right. Without objection, I'll move on to the next agenda item. Update on the bulging concrete wall bid on High Country. Joe, that's you again.
So I had a contractor that we use, Boris. He went over and looked at it. And he said, Joe, this is a big job. And he's going to, it would cost a lot to do everything. Mm-hmm. And he said, Joe, you really don't have to do everything. You could probably just do a part of it to not spend so much money. So what I would propose is I'll set up a meeting with Boris, just like we set up a meeting with the light vendor, and have him meet the board or a representative from the board, and you guys tell him exactly what you want fixed. The answer may be everything, and then he'll give us a written quote, or you might listen to his recommendation and say, you know, we probably could get by with just working on this part only, mm-hmm. and then do the other part if we need to.
How much is a lot of money? Does he give you a ballpark?
He did not give me a ballpark just because it was a big job. And but he would be able to give us a ballpark for a lesser a partial. Okay. Just fix the part that has to be fixed. I can set that up. His name is Boris. We do a lot of work with him, and he would meet you guys over there and you listen to what he has to say. And then whatever the board decides, then he would give a quote for that.
Okay.
I'm guessing his options range from finding some way to just stabilize it as is. And then the upper end would be a tear down and a rebuild.
Right. And that's expensive. And to tear down everything and rebuild it, would be expensive. So
we'll go ahead.
I'll set up an appointment, a suitable time for the two board members or three board members. And then you guys talk about it and decide what you want to do. And then he'll give us a quote.
Okay.
A quick question?
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't realize we had a bulging wall out there. Where on High Country is it?
Near it's between Donnell and Bradford Park Drive. If you walk that sidewalk there, you'll notice the wall is leaning significantly towards the road.
Thank you.
Also, I wanted to let you all know we received a notice from the city of Round Rock that the trees on High Country, if you're going out from the subdivision on Bradford Park Drive to the left of Bradford Park Drive on High Country, are too low, and they're blocking the line of sight for that road there. I have talked to our attorney previous to this, and he's told us that we don't actually own that property. So I've been in discussions with the city of Round Rock as to who's going to trim those trees and how much. And so I'm waiting to hear back from the city of Round Rock. I did talk to a lady today from the city of Round Rock, and I told her our history since I got on the board again and what we've been through. And I'm waiting to hear back what they're talking about. They're talking about having us sign a license agreement. And I'm not sure if it's just for the sign on Bradford Park and High Country or if it's for that entire area. But either way, before I sign anything, I'm going to run it past our HOA attorney, because I don't want to obligate us to something that the city of Round Rock should probably be doing. And part of that may be this concrete wall. So again, I need to see what's going on with that. But I still want to get the bid for at least if nothing else, I can forward it to Round Rock if they're responsible. And if they're not responsible, then we kind of know what we got to do. So either way, we still need to know that.
All right.
Any questions? No? Okay. And follow-up to answer to question, we were asked last board meeting, how much did the mailbox lighting cost? The answer, I went and added up two of the invoices that we received, was $4,005.25. And that was for, I think there's six mailboxes, so there was five lights that were installed. The sixth light is actually over here near where I get my mail. And I think the Stallneckers do too. There's yep. trees that are blocking what the solar panels, because they're solar powered lights. And so they couldn't put one there. And so that's going to lead me into our new business, mailbox lighting for the final mailbox group on Bradford Park near Andres Way. As far as I know, and we may have to talk to Mr. Brown about that as well, I believe the city of Round Rock may actually own that area as well. If not, then it's owned by the owner over at 2600 Andres Way. What I'd like to do is cut down two of those trees. And then once those trees are cut down, there would be nothing to keep us from getting solar power to put a solar powered light right there. So I wanted to get Paul's input on that, what he thinks of that.
Well, those trees are on the far side of the sidewalk. I find it hard to believe that that's city property, but, you know, I guess we'd have to look at the plats and see. Because you only have a 7-foot easement from the curb?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look.
I believe that's it. And if that's the case, chances are those belong to the property owner, in which case we would not have any right to remove the trees.
Right. I think I'm not sure if there's, well, again, you're right. That would be in, if it's not in the easement. So maybe we could ask them if we could take it down to put a light there. Maybe they'd be willing to let us do it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if we were to propose, if it's on their property and we proposed trimming the trees at the HOA's expense, you know, I mean, that's it's a demanding that they do it would probably not work out well, but you know, we'll have to, let's find out what our options are.
I agree. And so we'll need to talk to Mr. Brown about that and find out exactly who owns those two trees. I'll go and take pictures and we can go from there.
I think I'd rather see them trimmed than cut down.
The problem is that with the solar panels, they're very tall. And so if you trim them, you're going to be trimming them constantly because of how tall they are. And also, like I said, it the solar panels have to have sunlight in order for the lights to work at all. They're not powered by electricity, just by solar. So, and it's where that mailbox cluster is, there's no way, according to Jorge, right? That was
right,
the
color. Right.
Yeah, according to Jorge, there's no way to put a light there without those trees being gone.
I understand that, but I also am hesitant to remove two trees for the sake of a light.
Well, my thing is that if the one of the reasons we put in the lighting to start with was not only convenience for the people who live here, but also because the U.S. Postal Service says that the HOA is now responsible for anything that happens to those mailboxes. So if the mailbox gets vandalized because there's not a light there, because it's dark and they can... we're going to have to replace that. And those are not cheap. Those are I talked to the post office. They're like $2,000 a piece. And there's like, I don't know, two or three of those there.
Yeah.
So that could be a whole lot more expensive than putting in a light and taking down a couple of trees.
So each of the sections is that much money that's in the one grouping?
That's what I understood them to say. I would have to double check, but that's what I understood them to say. They're very, very, the mailboxes are very flimsy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And when I talked to the administrative aide to Congressman Pete Sessions earlier this year, he says you can break those with a screwdriver. Mm-hmm. And he's right. But the post office says that because we are a nonprofit corporation, the fact that we are a corporation means that we have to fix our own mailboxes.
Could we touch base with Jorge about a pole and a light and an additional pole away from the trees that might get enough sunlight to the solar panels and just wire it underground or across between the poles or something?
Joe, what do you think?
Yeah. I've never talked to him about, I guess you're talking about running power up to the light.
Well, sort of. You have
to have lines from the solar battery, the solar deals and batteries to the light.
So basically having two poles, one would have the light on it and the other one would have the solar panels, and locate those solar panels where they're away from the trees.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought of that. Yeah, I'll ask him. That's a good question.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Does anyone have anything else on the mailbox group and the lighting? Okay. Moving on to the next item, 3-0 or 2-0, whatever they call it. We need to set up a budget and start planning for that. I have it on the website as being Tuesday, October 3rd, I believe. And so we need to start planning that now if we're going to do it. It would help if we had a little bit of help. I actually asked for that in the newsletter. Anyone that wants to bring the thing, key things that we need are tables. Somebody needs to bring some tables so that we can set things up, like the popcorn machine, the cotton candy machine. I need to get all the information from Molly for the bouncy house and all of that. Although I think I have some of that now. Also, we need to contact the city of Round Rock to see if we can get a city council person or two, maybe even the mayor, and as well as the police and fire to come to that. And last time we did Smoky Mo's, I don't know if everyone liked that or not, but that seemed to be a pretty big hit. Last year, I think we had somewhere around 80 people that just kind of came and went from the event, and Molly and I set it up and took it down. So does anybody want to bring some tables and maybe some chairs and just come to chat, and you know, once in a while maybe make some popcorn or hand out cotton candy or anything?
I do have a folding table.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a couple of 5-6 foot long folding tables that I could loan you. However, we will be out of town on the 3rd, so, and leaving actually on the 2nd of October. So I would have to drop them off with you before that.
We could do that. You could drop them over at my place. I'm literally around the corner from you.
Yep.
Yeah, we could do that.
Two of them, and they are labeled as mine because I use them when I do the craft shows in late October and November.
Well, before I gave them back, to you, I would clean them and then hand them back to you. And also, I would want to contact the city to put something down to keep the fire ants and stuff down over in that area before we had our event, because there's nothing worse than trying to have an event and everyone's getting ate up by fire ants. So
I would check with the Parks Department on that, since that is a Round Rock Park.
Yeah, that's Molly. You handled all of that for last year, and she's really good at it. I may have to ask her, what she did and who she talked to, because that would really help. So I'll put that on my agenda item to contact her. Paul, last year I think we spent $1,500 on the entire event, and that included handing out prizes, like, you know, door prizes and stuff, like gift cards. I think one was $100, the other there was like a $50, and then like 325s, and then there were also some smaller one, like $5 or $10 gift cards for the kiddos. So I'm thinking because of inflation, it's probably gone up a little bit. I was thinking between 1800 and 2000 for that. What do you think?
That's exactly the number I was coming up with. Mm-hmm.
Do you think 2000?
Well, you figure what? If inflation has been 20%, that's $300. So around $1,800, but somewhere in the neighborhood. But I mean, we don't have to nail down the price, and we'll shoot for that $1,800 to $2,000 range and see where it comes in.
Okay. So if it goes a little over, we're okay. If it goes a little under, we're okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That works. All right. I'll kind of make it formal. Motion that we have a budget between 1800 and 2000. If it goes over a little bit, that's okay. Do I hear a second?
I say.
Second's been heard. I'll poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
I vote yes as well. The motion carries. That'll be the budget for NNO. And with that, my friends, we are at the end of our agenda. We have homeowner concerns. So if there's anything y'all have for us, we're all ears.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I know when we originally moved in here way back when in 98, part of the stipulations were if you wanted to put a shed or something in your backyard, it couldn't be over a certain height.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what that height was.
I think it's in our deed restrictions. I think it's over 6 feet or 8 feet. I forget which.
Just so it doesn't stick much up over the fence, which you probably have a 6 foot fence, right. Just so it doesn't stick up a whole lot over that, but usually 8 feet, mm-hmm. The structure goes up to the level of the fence and then you have the roof on top of it. And what you do is find the shed you like, and usually it's 10 by 10, 100 square feet, 8 feet tall to the tip of the roof, and then just email that to me, Dorothy, if you have my email address, and if you don't, I'll give it to you.
I've got it.
Okay, joe.gaines@goodwintx.com, and then I'll send that over to the architecture committee, and we'll have them look at it.
Go ahead.
Well, if you had a survey, that's handy because there's a setback from the fence that's usually 5 feet. You don't want to build it right up next to the fence. So leave a little room. And if you have a survey, then you just draw the shed on the survey. And if you don't have a survey, just say, I'll make sure it's 5 feet away from the fence.
If I recall, there's also a requirement that a building, like a separate shed or a building, can't be more.
I'm talking about getting one of those like Rubbermaid or something.
Right. Well, I'm just telling you what I think I read, and I'll have to look to make sure, but I'm pretty sure that it says it can't be more than 2% of the area of your plot, and that you can't have grass growing underneath it. I think those were two other requirements for like a separate building. But yeah, you can do that. And to be fair, ACC is one of the most powerful committees in the HOA. They can actually make decisions, and we can't really do anything about it. They have control. That's their deal. They can give you a waiver for things too. So if something's a little too big or a little too high, you can request a waiver, and if they approve it, then you've got, as long as you keep that approval, you're good.
Okay.
So just send me a picture of what you're wanting to do, and then we'll take it from there.
Appreciate that.
You're okay. Welcome. Does anyone else have anything else? Yes, sir, yeah. Al.
Is there a limit to the number of cars that can be parked, like in the driveway or for a family?
I don't think there's a limit in our deed restrictions. It does say in our deed restrictions that it has to be single family, but yeah. I don't think it really defines what that is. I'd have to go back and look. I do know that people parking on the street, we don't own the street, And as long as you're parked legally on the street, there's nothing we can do about that.
Right.
And Alan, the cars all run. They're not inoperable on jacks, oil stains, bad registration, flat tires. They all come and go.
Yeah, on Vincent Court.
And we wouldn't say the exact address, but in that.
No, area. I'm just saying on Vincent Court, there, I think, is there could be a problem that the cars that are parked block the, there's so many cars that they block the sidewalk at times. Hey,
you can't do that.
I know. Yeah,
blocking the sidewalk's totally different from how many can be at the location.
Yeah.
So,
and there's more than like four cars, and I think one is not running, but I just was wondering if there's a limit to the number of cars that, you know, a family should have.
I'll have to read the documents, but usually it's four because that fills up a driveway. Yeah. What we encourage is just park some of the cars in the garage, but a lot of times garages are full. So if you can safely do it, maybe you just snap me a picture and send me an email with the address, and then I can look into it.
Okay.
Anyone have anything else? I have one. Dee Dee, since Molly left the board, she kind of left me in charge of the newsletter. And at the time you were doing editing for that, would you still want to do that?
Yes, I can do that anytime.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to start filtering things through you if it's all right.
Have at it.
Okay. And Paul, if you have anything you want put in the newsletter, you could forward it to Dee Dee and I'll give you her email address and then you can forward it to her. She'll edit it and then we'll put that into the newsletter.
Okay.
Because I think people are getting tired of hearing from me.
they don't want to hear from me because I was a technical writer. My writing is very dry.
So is mine.
Isn't that bad? All I did was just smooth it out a little bit.
She did a great job. I mean, a really good job. And I appreciate the work that she's done. And I'm looking forward to working with you on that too.
And I will tell you right now, Paul, I may talk down home and dirty, but I write much differently.
My boss gave me the challenge to my writing is the instruction he gave me was to make it clear, to write instructions on how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's the kind of writing I do. Step by step instructions.
That's useful, though. There's useful stuff.
There are times when that's exactly what you need.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm dealing with my product team in Pakistan, yes.
Or you're dealing with teenage children. That's the same kind of thing.
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, I do.
No, mine's 30 and out of the house. That's not my problem anymore.
Our youngest of five is now 35.
Wow.
Or he will be. Next month.
Wow. Well, if no one else has anything else, then it's time for us to go into executive session, which means Dee Dee and Alan, y'all have to bow out.
Okay. Well,
sorry, Lee, I missed you. I didn't see you there.
I'm hiding over here.
Yeah, he's hiding back in the corner.
Thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, okay.
Have a good rest of the day.
Now I got to get my mouse to work to the other corner. There it is. Boom.
All right. Okay.
All right. I had to stay quiet during the shed discussion because I know mine's much bigger than that. But it was approved by the architectural committee years and years ago. So.
Well, we'll look in the documents. When she submits it, we'll check it.
All right. I'm stopping recording now.
Okay.